Through this tape are made available the words of the world's greatest contemporary mystic, Osho Rajneesh, previously known as Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. Thousands of his discourse tapes are available worldwide. Many, many people have been transformed through listening to them. This is an invitation to experience the vision of Osho Rajneesh. In this excerpt, he answers a question on death and the art of dying. Osho Rajneesh explains that unless one has lived fully and joyously, then one cannot die joyously. He talks on death and life as being two sides of one coin, and that both have to be accepted and celebrated.
Life is in living. It is not a thing. It is a process. There is no way to attain to life except by living it, except being alive, flowing, streaming with it. If you are seeking the meaning of life in some dogma, in some philosophy, in some theology, that is the sure way to miss life and meaning both. Life is not somewhere waiting for you, it is happening in you. It is not in future as a goal to be arrived. It is here now, this very moment, in your breathing, circulating in your blood, beating in your heart. Whatsoever you are is your life. And if you start seeking meaning somewhere else, you will miss it. And man has done that for centuries. Concepts have become very important. Explanations have become very important. And the real is completely forgotten. We don't look to that which is already here. We want rationalizations. Nobody can give you the meaning of your life. It is your life. The meaning has also to be yours. Himalayas won't help. Nobody except you can come upon it. It is your life, and it is only accessible to you. Only in living the mystery will be revealed to you. The first thing I would like to tell you is, don't seek it anywhere else. Don't seek it in me. Don't seek it in scriptures. Don't seek in clever explanations. They all explain away. They don't explain. They simply stuff your empty mind. They don't make you aware of what is. And the more the mind is stuffed with dead knowledge, the more dull and stupid you become. Knowledge makes people stupid. It dulls their sensitivity. It stuffs them. It becomes a weight on them. It strengthens their ego. But it does not give light, and it does not show you the way. It is not possible. Life is already there, bubbling within you. It can be contacted only there. The temple is not outside. You are the shrine of it. So the first thing to remember, if you want to know what life is, never seek it without. Never try to find out from somebody else. The meaning cannot be transferred that way. And the greatest masters have never said anything about life. They have always thrown you back to yourself. The second thing to remember, once you know what life is, you will know what death is. Because death is also the part of the same process. Ordinarily we think death comes at the end. Ordinarily we think death is against life. Ordinarily we think death is the enemy. Death is not the enemy. And if you think death as the enemy, it simply shows you have not been able to know what life is. Death and life are two polarities of the same energy, of the same phenomenon. The tide and the ebb, the day and the night, the summer and winter, they are not separate and not opposites, not contraries, they are complementaries. Death is not the end of life. In fact, it is a completion of one life. The crescendo of one life, the climax, the final. But once you know your life and its process, then you understand what death is. Death is an organic, integral part of life. And it is very friendly to life. Without it, life cannot exist. It exists because of death. Death gives the background. Death is in fact a process of renewal. And death also happens each moment as life happens, because the renewal is needed each moment. The moment you breathe in and the moment you breathe out, both are happening. Breathing in, life happens. Breathing out, death happens. That's why when a child is born, the first thing he is going to do is to breathe in. Then life starts. And the last thing when an old man is dying will be he breathes out. Life departs. Breathing out is death. Breathing in is life. And both are like two wheels of a bullock cart. You live by breathing in as much as you live by breathing out. The breathing out is part of breathing in. You cannot breathe in if you stop breathing out. You cannot live if you stop dying. The man who has understood what his life is allows death to happen. He welcomes. He dies each moment, and each moment he is resurrected. His cross and his resurrection are continuously happening as a process. He dies to the past each moment, and he is again and again born into the future. If you look into life, you will be able to know what death is. If you understand what death is, only then you are able to understand what life is. They are organic. Ordinarily, out of fear, we have created a division. We think life is good, death is bad. We think life has to be desired and death to be avoided. We think somehow we have to protect ourselves against death. This absurd idea creates endless miseries in your life. Because a person who protects himself against death becomes incapable of living. He is the person who is afraid of exhaling. Then he cannot inhale. Then he is stuck. Then he seems drags. His life is no more a flow. His life is no more a river. If you really want to live, you have to be ready to die. Who is afraid of death in you? Life is afraid of death? It is not possible. How life can be afraid of its own integral process? Something else is afraid in you. The ego is afraid in you. Life and death are not opposites. Ego and death are opposites. Life and death are not opposites. Ego and life are opposites. Ego is against both life and death. The ego is afraid to live. The ego is afraid to die. It is afraid to live because each effort, each step towards life brings death closer. If you live, you are coming closer to die. The ego is afraid to die, hence it is afraid to live also. The ego simply drags. There are many people who are neither alive nor dead. This is worse than anything. A man who is fully alive is full of death also. That is the meaning of Jesus on cross. It has not been really understood. Jesus carrying his own cross. And he says to his disciples, you will have to carry your own cross. The meaning of Jesus carrying his own cross is nothing but this, very simple. That everybody has to carry his death continuously. And everybody has to die each moment. Everybody has to be on the cross, because that is the only way to live fully, totally. Whenever you come to a total moment of aliveness, suddenly you will see death also there. Let it be remembered that death and life both become a flame together. They are never separate. If you are very, very minimally alive, at the minimum, then you can see death and life separate. The closer you come to the peak, they start coming closer. At the very apex, they meet and become one. In love, in meditation, in trust, in prayer, wherever, life becomes total. Death is there. Without death, life cannot become total. But the ego always thinks in divisions, in dualities. It divides everything. Existence is indivisible. It cannot be divided. You were a child, then you became young. Can you demark the line when you became young? Can you demark the point in time where suddenly you were no more a child and you became young? one day you become old. Can you demark the line when you became old? Processes cannot be demarked. Exactly the same happens when you are born. Can you demark when you are born? When life really starts? Does it start when the child starts breathing? And the doctor springs the child and the child starts breathing? Then life is born? Or when the child got into the womb, the mother became pregnant, the child was conceived, then life started? Or even before that, when life exactly starts, it is a non-ending and a process of no beginning. It never starts. When a person is dead, when the breathing stops, then a person is dead. Many yogis have proved it now on scientific grounds that they can stop breathing and they are still alive and they can come back. So stopping of the breathing cannot be the end. Where life ends, it never ends anywhere. It never begins anywhere. We are involved in eternity. We have been here since the very beginning, if there was any beginning. And we will be here. We are going to be here to the very end, if there is going to be any end. In fact, there cannot be any beginning and there cannot be any end. We are life. Forms change. Bodies change. Minds change. And what we call life is just identification with a certain body, with a certain mind, with a certain attitude. What we call death is nothing but getting out of that form, out of that body, out of that concept. You change houses. If you get too much identified with one house, then changing the house will be very painful. You will think you are dying. Because the old house was what you were. That was your identity. But it doesn't happen, because you know you are only changing the house, you remain the same. Those who have looked within themselves, those who have found who they are, come to know an eternal non-ending process. Life is a process, timeless, beyond time. Death is part of it. Death is a continuous revival, a help to life to resurrect again and again, to help the life to get rid of old forms, to get rid of dilapidated buildings, to get rid of old confining structures, so that again you can flow, and again you can become fresh and young, and again you can become virgin. Everything returns to its original source, has to return to its original source. If you understand life, then you understand death also. Life is a forgetfulness of the original source, and death is again a remembrance. Life is going away from the original source, death is coming back home. Death is not ugly, death is beautiful. But death is beautiful only for those who have lived their life unhindered, uninhibited, unsuppressed. Death is beautiful only for those who have lived their life beautifully, who have not been afraid to live, who have been courageous to live, who loved, who danced, who celebrated. Death becomes the ultimate celebration if your life is a celebration. Let me tell you in this way, whatsoever your life is, death reveals only that. If you have been miserable in life, death reveals misery. Death is a great revealer. If you've been happy in your life, death reveals happiness. If you have lived only a life of physical comfort and physical pleasure, then of course death is going to be very uncomfortable and unpleasant, because the body has to be left. Body is just a temporary abode, a sarai, in which we stay for the overnight and in the morning we have to leave. It is not your permanent abode. It is not your home. So if you have lived just a bodily life and you have never known anything beyond the body, death is going to be very, very ugly, unpleasant, painful. Death is going to be an anguish. But if you have lived a little higher than the body, if you have loved music and poetry, and you have loved and you have looked at the flowers and the stars, and something of the non-physical has entered into your consciousness, death will not be so bad. Death will not be so painful. You can take it with equanimity, but still it cannot be a celebration. If you have lived something into the transcendental in yourself, if you have entered your own nothingness at the center of your being, where you are no more a body and no more a mind, where physical pleasures are completely left far away, and mental pleasures also, the pleasures of music and poetry and literature and painting, everything is left far away. You are simply just pure awareness, consciousness. Then death is going to be a great celebration, a great understanding, a great revelation. If you have known anything of the transcendental in you, death will reveal you the transcendental in the universe. Then death is no more a death, but a meeting with God, a date with God. So you can find three expressions about death in the history of human mind. One expression is of the ordinary man who lives attached to his body, who has never known anything greater than the pleasure of food or sex, whose whole life has been nothing but food and sex, who has enjoyed food, enjoyed sex, whose life has been very primitive, whose life has been very grass, who has lived in the porch of his palace, never entered in, and who had been thinking that this is all life is. Then, at the moment of death, he will try to cling. He will resist death. He will fight death. Death will come as the enemy. Hence, all over the world, in all the societies, death is depicted as dark, as devilish. In India, they say, The messenger of death is very ugly, dark, black, and comes sitting on a very big, ugly buffalo. This is the ordinary attitude these people missed. They have not been able to know all the dimensions of life. They have not been able to touch the depth of life. They have not been able to fly to the height of life. They missed the plenitude. They missed the benediction. Then there is a second type of expression. Poets, philosophers sometimes have said that death is nothing bad. Death is nothing evilish. It is just restful, a great rest, like sleep. This is better than the first. At least these people have known something beyond the body. They have known something of the mind. They have not only food and sex. Their whole life has not been only in eating and reproducing. They have a little sophistication of the soul. They are a little more aristocratic, more cultured. But they will say, death is like a great rest. One is tired, one goes into death and rest. It is restful. But they too are far away from the truth. Those who have known life in its deepest core, they say death is a God. Not only a rest, but a resurrection, a new life, a new beginning, a new door opens.